For our sermon text today, we have just two very brief passages. We have to jump around a little bit. We're going to start in Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28, and then we go back to Luke 8 for verses 19 through 21. So if you can follow that, wonderful. If it's a little bit hard to just listen, may you hear the word that God has for you this day. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." And now to chapter 8. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Now, I'm not sure whether Jesus just lived in turbulent times or just sort of caused tumult wherever he went. He definitely upset a lot of old traditional notions and ways. Those venerable old wineskins weren't going to do for the wine he was offering. Mainly, Jesus made it evident that those who thought they knew all about God, or at least God's requirements for his creatures, they didn't know as much as they thought. It's all too easy for people to add. People tend to add. What God requires seems just too basic or too difficult. So people add practices to show devotion. They add beliefs to get others to see it's quite difficult to come to God, and that those others need many mediators, priests, for example, hierarchies, bureaucracies, stamps on their passports, notary seals on their documents. It's not official otherwise, not genuine. We speak of Trinity, and they make it triplicate. Now, we understand about triplicate, though I must confess I still don't know that I'm supposed to get pink or goldenrod. Jesus tells us as often as he needs to that we don't need any of that hierarchies, passports, stamps, forms, and formalities. None of that has the least ability to offer any help. Indeed, it all becomes hindrance. Jesus tells us as often as he needs to that all the help we need we shall find in him only. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Fall down before Jesus. Lift hands and hearts to Jesus. He's merciful. He will save. All those added levels, traditions, and beliefs, they can't. They aren't way. We like to add. Are you kind of an accumulator? Do you have a home full of accumulated things, or a couple storage spaces, or maybe three you can't remember anymore, or a garage that you don't open the door on that thing anymore? We kind of accumulate. Have you ever tried to give something up? It'd be kind of hard to give things up or give things away. People have a hard time giving things up. I can't let go of that. From the perspective of religion, some people would really benefit from a trip to the spiritual goodwill. Now, the one who is goodwill itself is God, and what does he ask of us? In Jesus Christ, grace for us all, God reminds his people of what he expects and what he asks. God has been reminding his people for centuries and generations through Jeremiah, some 600 years before the birth of Jesus. God told his people, "When I brought your ancestors out of the land of Egypt, I said nothing to them, gave them no orders about whole burnt offerings and sacrifice. These were my orders. Listen to my voice. Then I will be your God and you shall be my people. Follow right to the end the way that I mark out for you and you will prosper. Listen, follow. Kind of sounds like what Jesus keeps saying. The problem in our own times is the same as the problem 500 years ago and 2,500 years ago. God also tells Jeremiah to say this about the former generations, but they did not listen. They did not pay attention. And why? Well, God tells us that too. They followed the dictates of their own hearts. Yes, God provides a way, but he puts it so briefly. Love God, love one another. It needs, you know, elaboration, addition. It seems like he must have left some things out. So we add according to the dictates of our own hearts rather than the clear teaching of God's word. We know our hearts much better, or we think we do. Consider Mary. A couple of you grew up Catholic. You're well aware of how important Mary is in Catholicism, why we can't even conceive Catholic faith without Mary. It can seem in some circles as if Mary is Catholic faith. The Bible doesn't tell us much about Mary, but that never stopped us before. Do you know her parents were St. Joachim and St. Anne? Where do we find that in the Bible? Catholic teaching is quite firm that Mary, who, if we're to take Luke at his word, had children with Joseph after Jesus. Catholic teaching is quite clear that Mary remained a virgin throughout her life. This has been defended vigorously since the early centuries of the church, which tells us more about the early centuries of the church than about Mary. Did you know that, like Jesus, Mary also was born without sin? At least since 1854, officially. And since 1950, at least, Catholics have been taught that Mary, at her death, was taken body and soul up into heaven, just like Enoch and Elijah. Where our Catholic brothers and sisters find these teachings in the Bible remains a mystery to me. I have yet to find them in all my repeated reading through Scripture. And there's the sticking point. Is Scripture an authority in the church or the authority? Is Scripture subject to those who officially interpret it, or is every believer subject to Scripture? For us, it's not a choice between Mary or the Word of God. Rather, for us, it is always a matter of every believer, including Mary, in relation to the Word. Culture and history and tradition can put us next to the Bible, but only the Spirit can put us in relation to the Bible. The Word is for our transformation. People like to add, though, like to alter the word. In Presbyterian circles, we have the option of giving Mary one Sunday each year, if the pastor chooses, during Advent. One Mary Sunday back in Illinois, I gave my Mary sermon for the year from a Reformed perspective, of course. The adult son of one of the long-time pillars of that congregation was in worship that day together with his wife, who I learned only afterwards was from Ireland and very Irish Catholic. So my Mary sermon from a Reformed perspective didn't go over too well with her, though she was Christian enough not to give me the stink eye on her way out afterwards. We should always honor Mary as we would honor every other saint who lives this faith, who says yes to God's claim upon his or her life, who willingly, lovingly says, God, use me for whatever plans you may have. I give myself to you, and then stays the course of that very consequential decision. Beautiful words without beautiful deeds don't turn out so pretty. Mary does just what God told his people he wanted, what he reminded them through Jeremiah that he wanted. He wants his people to listen to him and to follow him. Follow the way he marks out for them, not their way, not the dictates of their willful, wayward hearts, ours, mine, but the way God makes for them, the way where there had been no way. In today's psalm, we reminded ourselves about that way through the sea. You can't walk through the sea. Not possible. God made it possible. A way where there was no way. Possibility is the power of God. Isn't the virgin birth about which we seem so dubious these days a demonstration of that very point? Possibility is the power of God. It might seem as if following the way God makes shouldn't be so difficult, but in practice it's always a challenge. Like doing one of those American Ninja Warrior obstacle courses, right? Whoop, whoop, whoop. Well, there's another one. Only in the case of what we're talking about today, God doesn't set up the obstacles. We do. People do. Strange how we're so adept at cluttering the way to God. We're ingenious at clobbering ourselves. Luke records how on one occasion a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Behind every great man, there's a great mother. I say amen. What does Jesus say? Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Well, what are we to make of that? Is there any mother here today who would say that giving birth was easy work or starting nursing her baby, piece of the cake? Jesus isn't saying that his mother is not worthy of any honor or blessing. She's as worthy as every other mother who lives into motherhood with full heart. God bless mothers. But if we get focused on the mother, we can lose sight of the father. And in this case, to lose sight of the father is to lose sight of life. That's not so good. That's very risky. Thank God for Mary, certainly. Above all, thank God for God who overcomes every obstacle, tears every barrier down, who will be reconciled with his people. That reconciliation is lived by those who hear the word of God and obey it, not alter it or add to it. God makes it possible to hear. God changed Mary's heart too, giving her a heart for hearing. When we focus on the word of God, which is who, we will go the right way, the way of life, the way to life, the way of giving, casting aside every weight and burden, especially the weight and burden of what we're always inclined to add to the way of salvation. That way is simple. It's not easy because we make it difficult, but the way is not complex or intricate. Listen. Follow. Don't get distracted. Don't add. But that means we will be changed. And yes, I'm afraid that means I and you need changing. Another time, the family of Jesus with his mother try to get to Jesus, take charge of him, because they're being told he's acting crazy, saying things and doing stuff. And they're concerned that he's burning all his bridges, not to mention bringing shame upon the family. Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." Remember, this is Luke telling us, right? Luke also is the one who told us at the outset about Mary's role in saying yes to God's plans. Of all the gospel writers, surely Luke gives Mary highest honor. He honors God's word more. Luke tells us how Jesus answered, My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Sounds like what God told Jeremiah. Sounds like what James tells us. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Listen and do, and you shall hear words of highest praise. Well done, good and faithful servant. If we have much to learn from Mary and every other saint of ages past and of our own age, we always have much more to learn from Christ. And what did Mary herself say? Do whatever he tells you. William Barclay quotes an earlier Bible student, "In the New Testament, it is the work, not the workers, that is glorified. The work is salvation, and salvation is change. God means to change us, and we shall all be changed." Mary never points to herself because she's nothing herself, just like us. Then God gives her everything, just like he gives us everything in Jesus. For several ancient reasons, Catholics devotedly pray to Mary. To whom does Jesus teach us to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven. Traditions are of men. The word is from God. Traditions too often get in the way. God is the way. And to Jesus Christ, who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests of his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever.